Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton. Today I'm going to touch on economy and player shopping trips because that seems to be a thing people are talking about. Way back in the day, one of my brother's campaigns was set in a desert setting, and there was this place called Abdul's that was this big rock mesa, and the mesa had been hollowed out and the interior was Abdul's, and you could literally buy anything there. And if you looked up, there was a Constellation class starship hanging from the ceiling. And when we first started playing that game, I wanted to play a thief, and he made us role play shopping for our equipment. And you can't just ask for thieves' picks and tools because people look at you strange. And so then I had to figure out how to get thieves' picks and tools without asking for that. And we had these, I don't remember if they were riding birds or riding lizards that you could rent, and they had these saddles on it with the command words to stop and go, and they were really fast. So we used that to get across the sands. There was all kinds of things that happened. One time some foreign legionnaires fighting some Arab tribesmen appeared out of nowhere, and was quite the interesting little occurrence. Lots of player death. You could buy repeating crossbows, and we had a couple of players with repeating crossbows, and we got cornered in this cave up a rope by a bunch of orcs, and we went at them hand to hand, and after we're dead, my brother's like, "Why didn't you just use the crossbows?" Well, yeah, hindsight's 20/20. But he got tired of running that campaign, thought it was too overpowered. And one session, I guess, I don't know if it was Abdul's creditors or what, but people showed up and they cut up the mesa and hauled it away. And there was nothing left, not even the mesa. And shortly after that, he started a different campaign because it wasn't quite what he wanted. So that was quite interesting. I don't remember what the next campaign was after that. That's kind of one when we were taking turns running different scenarios. Somebody would run modules, another person would run their scenarios. And I believe that's when I had my character. He had us roll 6d6, keep the highest 3, put them anywhere you want. And of all things, I managed to roll 6 ones. So that went on the charisma. And that character had a henchman, because a henchman, with a 3 charisma, you can have 1 henchman. And he saved the guy's life so many times, he was fanatically loyal. And that was a lot of fun. He found amongst the treasure of an Etten that a sword of sharpness, and he knew it was magic but didn't know it was a sword of sharpness, so he thought, well, I've got a better chance against this Etten. And the Etten came at him and he took a swing at it, and of all things, I rolled a 20 and decapitated both heads. And so I got to keep the sword of sharpness, and then like a dummy, to go to the new campaign area, we had to get on this ship and sail. And I thought, oh, I want to have an interest in the ship. So I, like a dummy, sold my magic sword and bought interest in the ship. And we fought sea ghouls and all kinds of other things. And we ran into different islands along the way. And this one island, we found some sort of ruins, and there was a ghost, and my character and his henchmen ended up stuck, trapped in this closet. My character was aged to 90-some-odd years old, and my henchman was 60-some-odd years old. And without a magic weapon, we couldn't hit the ghost and couldn't seem to get away from it. So that's the last we played that character. So it was never resolved what happened to the character trapped in the closet by a ghost. Then the new campaign that started up, I don't know if that was the campaign after that. Well, it all blurs together after a while when you've played so many. But his current campaign has been going since I was in my second year of college, so over 30 years. And one thing that was very common in that game and still is are favors. You need something and you don't have the cash to buy it, you can owe a favor. And the more critical the thing you buy with a favor, the bigger the favor. And you can stack your favors, and then when they call them in, if you don't honor your favor, well, you got a problem. And if you go borrowing something from a wizard, you're going to honor the favor because he'll just melt your head. And so that's an interesting part of the economy is trading favors. Player characters tend to want to go help out each other and share in the treasure and all that. But when you're dealing with NPCs, you want their help. You got to promise them something big. And if you get divine intervention, you've got to promise the deity something big. So favors is a thing that I use in my game. It hasn't come up often, but players can promise to do something or give something or whatever in order to get some device or item or spell cast that they really think they need. But player shopping trips, yeah, you get bogged down in those, and that gets pretty old. I would just say, you starting character, you got your equipment. And basically, your equipment isn't brand new. It's going to be what you've picked up over the years, and the buying of equipment just represents, you know, over the years, you've acquired this much wealth and invested it into this equipment that you've got. Keep it simple. So those are my stories right there about economy and player character shopping trips. Unless it's some really rare item that really requires some effort to go find the right vendor, there's really not much need to role play that level of detail unless it's central to the story, but then that's going to be a big clue to the players. So, yeah, the fine details of running the day-to-day dealings of shopkeepers, that's not really my idea of fun. And if you dig into that, you can go down quite the rabbit hole. So that's my two cents on shopping trips and player characters buying stuff. It's been interesting hearing other people talk about this same topic. So thank you for listening, and game on.